This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Your number is 877-217-5757. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. In just a bit, we'll hear from Mark Mallard, Capital Bureau Chief from The Advocate. Big, big news week. And yesterday, the governor made some news on his show, and it really has not been reported that much amid all the other stories. And, of course, the biggest story is out of Washington, D.C., where President Joseph Robinette Biden suffered a major blow to his agenda. His voting rights legislation, the John Lewis bill, went down in flames in the Senate. It could come back, but right now he does not have the votes to end the filibuster because Democrats, Joe Manchin, and Kyrsten Sinema have voted to retain the filibuster, which requires 60 votes to get something to the U.S. Senate for discussion. And in this case, they do not want to get rid of it, and Biden doesn't have the 60 votes necessary. We were slated to hear from Elbert Lee Guillory, former state lawmaker running for lieutenant governor, and we're having some challenges reaching him, but hopefully we will be able to get him online. But we do have much to discuss independent of that, and it would, of course, be nice to get Guillory's take because he is a lawyer of note and has been around the block a few times and actually fought for civil rights during his days as a young man. He was born in 1944, so he was a young adult when all the civil rights tumult was going on in the United States in the 1960s. The Guardian, the newspaper of record across the pond, says the defeat is a major blow to Joe Biden, who spent significant political capital over the last few weeks pushing the bill. The defeat makes Democrats, who pledged to protect voting rights when they took control of the U.S. Senate last year, look incapable of governing. It's disturbing to see just one Republican, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, voice any kind of support for sweeping protections to support the right to vote. And it's astonishing to see how two moderate Democrats block the bill because of their unflinching support for an arcane Senate rule. The defeat comes at a uniquely dangerous moment for democracy. There are plenty of takes to go around about why this push didn't succeed, and there will be more to come in the coming days. Biden should have pushed harder on voting rights, this newspaper opines, and he should have pushed sooner. Democrats were too ambitious in their proposal. Democrats should have focused on a narrower fix to the Electoral Count Act. And so right now, the election, the midterm will go on, and there have been many changes in the United States at polling places. In Louisiana, notably, the only bill passed the legislature in the last year was one to expand early voting. So we did not follow the trend of Georgia and Texas and other states. And Governor John Bel Edwards noted that, as he should, because we, on this case, I think, could fairly be said to be portrayed as progressive. But our two U.S. senators, both of whom are Republicans, William Morgan Cassidy and John Neely Kennedy, they both stuck with the Republicans on this. Cassidy has been more open to voting with Democrats. He was one of the seven Republicans to vote for the impeachment of Donald Trump. 57 senators out of the 100 voted to impeach Trump the last go around for sparking the insurrection of January 6, 2021. But the other 43 Republicans, including John Kennedy, voted to protect the president and the former president. And so John Kennedy has been praised by Donald Trump. He's been endorsed by him. And now we have Governor John Bel Edwards on the other side, who has all but endorsed Luke Mixon, who, like Governor Edwards, is a military veteran. Luke Mixon actually saw combat in Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria. He was a fighter pilot with the U.S. Navy, graduate of the Naval Academy, and the governor noted that he is a proud West Point graduate, and he whimsically said that he might have a little trouble endorsing a Naval Academy grad, but he's going with the man from Annapolis. And at the same time, and we'll hear some tape later from Governor Edwards on his show from yesterday, he denounced Gary Chambers, the hot candidate of the moment who's received gobs of national and even international attention because he smoked pot on a spot that was aired online and is out there for all the world to see. 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. Alondra Villarreal is producing, and we'll go to Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Yes, sir.
I want to make a bold prediction. Nothing is ever going to happen to Trump. The two senators are doing a great job. They're paid to do, it's their turn in the barrel. Because I have to say, the system is rigged. And they do not want to have the independent to the filibuster, and they do not want to have any millionaire left behind.
All right. Well, harsh words from Phil, but the two U.S. senators were not alone. They were joined by all the Republicans and two Democrats. And it is easy to see why Joe Manchin has reticence as far as doing away with Senate rules, because he's in a state that was won overwhelmingly by Donald Trump by about 40 percentage points or more. And in West Virginia, Trump carried every county of that state, a state that's changed dramatically over the years. In 1988, West Virginia went for Michael Dukakis, one of 10 states that Dukakis carried. It had senators that were longtime Democrats, Jay Rockefeller, Robert Byrd, but those days have changed. Manchin's a former governor. He's a moderate Democrat, and he's trying to survive in a conservative state. Kyrsten Sinema, on the other hand, is in a state that is starting to lean blue. And it was a state won by Joseph Robinette Biden in the last election, and he won by more than 10,000 votes in Arizona. And I suspect he was helped by the fact that President Trump was slamming John McCain, who not only was a national icon, he was a local favorite in Arizona, the state he called home, the state he represented in Congress. And they didn't like the fact that Donald Trump questioned McCain's war success because he was captured. He says his heroes didn't get captured. Well, there's no doubt the man who spent 5 years at the Hanoi Hilton was a hero, unlike Donald Trump, who got out of military service with bone spurs that were not legitimate. And, of course, Joe Biden, the president of the United States, got out of military service during Vietnam with asthma. And at age 79, he appears to be doing well. And all this bunk about him not being able or fit or cognitively sound, and there was even a question about it in yesterday's press conference, which lasted 2 hours, but Biden took questions from all comers for 2 hours and showed no signs of dementia. The man is obviously all there. He's just an older guy. He's 79 years old. He will become our first octogenarian president when the clock ticks on November 20th. Smiley Anders and Joe Biden will celebrate a birthday together, but President Biden has all kinds of challenges right now. He all but said he expected Vladimir Putin and Russia to invade Ukraine. That was part of his press conference yesterday. And as we look at the markets, the last few days have been bad days on Wall Street. And Wall Street being Wall Street, in the early going is up a little bit, up 306 points. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is. The S&P also up, as are most stocks that are being traded on Wall Street. So we'll see. And the market as a whole, now 35,334 for the Dow. The Dow was just over 30,000 when Joe Biden took office. So in a year, exactly 1 year ago today, he took office. In 1 year, it's grown, the Dow has, by almost 20%. So the economic indicators, which have been portrayed as poor because of inflation, which is with us, 7% last year, other factors are good. The economy is roaring. Unemployment is down. The stock market is up. But the market does not like volatility and uncertainty, and Ukraine is one place where it's happening, and we'll see how President Biden responds to the challenges ahead. And there is a big election this year. And it involves Democrats trying to retain their narrowest of holds in the U.S. Senate. It's actually even, 50-50, and that's with two non-Democrats voting with the Democratic caucus, Bernie Sanders and Angus King. And if the Democrats lose the Senate, then if a Supreme Court justice opening happens after that, then you would expect Mitch McConnell to block any Democratic a nominee from President Biden, just as he did with Merrick Garland, even though the same Mitchell McConnell rushed through a vote on Amy Coney Barrett with just days remaining in Donald Trump's term. It, obviously a case of hypocrisy, but it was none other than Jerry Brown, the former governor of California, youngest and oldest governor in the history of the Golden State, who said all politicians engage in hypocrisy. It's just a matter of degree. 877-217-5757 is your number. And yesterday, the justices and the Supreme Court rebuffed Donald Trump's request on records for the January 6th insurrection, a big blow to the former president. And only one justice voted with Trump, and that was none other than Clarence Thomas. The three justices nominated by President Trump, Coney Barrett, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh, they all voted the other way. 8-1, Trump has to turn over records from January 6th. That's from the High Court. We'll talk more after this pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Lines are open now at 877-217-5757. Alondra Villarreal is producing, and today is January 20th, 2022, so it was exactly 1 year ago today that Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. took office as the oldest president in American history. 78 years old when he took office. He turned 79 in November, and he says at this point he plans on running for re-election at the age of 82. And of course, there are many Democrats who believe that that's a bit old. We do have an age limit on the front end. You have to be 35 to be president of the United States. Some would say there should be an age limit on the back end. Same way with the U.S. Senate, for example. 30 years old, you have to be a senator. Right now we have and this is something we'll check, but a number of them are past 70, including John Neely Kennedy, who's the oldest U.S. senator from Louisiana in 50 years. The last guy who was older than he was Alan Ellender, who died in office 50 years ago. 877-217-5757, David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. You know, the late, great Satchel Paige said that don't look back, someone might be gaining on you. Well, Trump's own words and deeds are gaining on him. For example, he made a big issue regarding someone, I believe, in Hillary's campaign who took the Fifth Amendment. How many people, like his son, for example, Eric Trump, according to MSNBC, has taken the Fifth Amendment over 600 times, and several other people whose names I know your audience is familiar with, plus the number of people in his campaign who won't honor a legal subpoena, and Trump has made an issue out of being a law and order person. What hypocrisy.
Well, as I said, as Jerry Brown said, all politicians engage in hypocrisy, and that might apply to business people as well. And, of course, Trump has talked about how tough he is, but I see he got draft deferments in 64, 65, 66, two in 1968, one in 1972. Took the Fifth, by the way, David, in Atlanta, 97 times in his divorce deposition in 1990 with his first wife, Ivana. Now, he also has talked about being a man of family values, and he's been married three times, and he has more divorces than all U.S. presidents put together. The only other divorcee to be a president was Ronald Reagan, and he was divorced once. So of the other 43 people who've held the office, and I say 43 because Grover Cleveland was both president number 22 and 24, but they have one divorce among them. Donald Trump has two, and yet he's the family values guy. And it is interesting how Bill Clinton in 1992, 30 years ago when he was running, was almost run out of the race because of an affair with Jennifer Flowers, which he lied about. He did have it, but he said he didn't, said it on 60 Minutes. And today, Donald Trump can be exposed as having had an affair with the pride of Baton Rouge, Stormy Daniels, the former Stephanie Clifford, and then paying her $130,000 in hush money not to talk about it. She took the money and ended up talking about it anyway. And that's no big deal because Donald Trump votes to preserve human life, abortion. And speaking of the Supreme Court decision, which legalized abortion in America, it was legal in many states, including California, by the way, in 1973 when January 22nd, when the Supreme Court voted in a 7-2 decision. Ronald Reagan, by the way, had signed the most liberal abortion law in America when he was governor of California. But Donald Trump is where the conservatives want him to be on that issue. And David, what do you think if Roe v. Wade is overturned? What happens to American politics at that point? Who then has the advantage on that issue?
I think the Democrats, that's a great point. You know, be careful what you ask for. You might get it. And, you know, I have read articles where women have actually used battery acid to abort their fetus. And, you know, women no doubt will be if you're married, you have three or four children, your husband's out of work, you have car payments, mortgage payments, insurance payments, rent, insurance. And, you know, thanks to the Republicans, there's no paid maternity leave, the pro-life party. This woman and her family is going to have to make a decision. Do I have this child and end up homeless? I'd like people to ask themselves that question. And, you know, furthermore, it's the Republicans who are first in line when it comes to opposing, you know, at these local county school boards, scientific sex education in the public school system. In Europe, they have medically approved sex education. They have fewer sexually transmitted diseases, fewer teenage pregnancies. But give it to the, you know, the right-wing hypocritical evangelicals, you know, they are like a sore on this country's buttocks.
Well, I understand your passion and maybe anger, David, but that's not the way to get the other side to come to the table, to draw a line in the sand. But you make some good points, and many of the people who, of course, are against abortion are also against condom use. And if we had more distribution of condoms, we'd have fewer abortions. But yet, any kind of birth control is also, and I belong to the Roman Catholic Church, it's a sin, a mortal sin for that matter, to use any kind of birth control. But condoms are a good idea if you don't want unwanted pregnancies. Would you agree with me, my friend in Atlanta, David?
Well, of course. And they should, I would even say they shouldn't be distributed in the high schools, because if you're going to do it, they're going to do it. A condom will not stop you. It'll only hopefully avoid some diseases and some unwanted pregnancies. So that's the way enlightened people think, Jim. And, you know, going back, speaking of scientific education, how on earth can these Trump lovers, you know, oppose, and it's a major issue in this country, oppose not wearing masks and not getting vaccinated when there's overwhelming evidence it saves lives? And there are political reasons.
Well, but Donald Trump, now let's give him credit. He pushed for vaccines.
Yes,
we got vaccines. He pushed for them, and he's in favor of vaccines. He's even gotten some grief. They booed him at his own rallies over this. But I'll give him this. And, you know, every person has – what was my friend Dale Brown? He's quoting Oscar Wilde, but he says, every sinner has a past, or every sinner has a future, and every saint has a past. We're not all perfect, and Donald Trump did do some good things, and I think vaccines have to be given credit for that.
I go out, I wear an X, what is it called, that 95 mask. It's not uncomfortable. I wear wraparound glasses to protect myself and surgical gloves. It's no great inconvenience when it could save my life. And, you know, the governor of Virginia was on Fox News Sunday, and evidently, illegally, he issued an executive order banning the mandation of mandatory mask wearing in the school system. And, you know, that's going to very likely spread the disease, and they want people to die from the disease because it will hurt Biden's chances of being reelected, and they're willing to send even children to their deaths to do it. And there are children on ventilators. So when I hear children, very few children get it. I don't care if there's one child on a ventilator because of COVID. You know, it's one too many. I was on a ventilator. You don't want to be on a ventilator, Jim.
All right. Well, thank you, Elwood. I appreciate your comments. David in Atlanta, formerly Elwood in New Orleans, but he made the move to Atlanta in the year of 2005 after he was blown out of New Orleans East as his home was destroyed in Hurricane Katrina. But as those of us who've been around talk radio for a while, this guy was a market legend in his hometown of New Orleans, and we're glad he calls on occasion from Atlanta. But today in the New York Times, it says it's one of the most well-known takeaways of the pandemic. Men die of COVID-19 more often than women. Early on, some scientists suspected the reason was primarily biological and that sex-based treatments for men like estrogen injections or androgen blockers could help reduce their risk of dying, but a new study analyzing sex differences in COVID-19 deaths over time in the United States suggests that the picture is much more complicated. While men overall died at a higher rate than women, the trends varied wildly over time and by state. The information suggests that social factors like job types, behavioral patterns, underlying health issues played a big role in the apparent sex differences. But there is no doubt that more men have succumbed to COVID and lost their lives. And by the way, 1 out of 100 people over the age of 65 in the United States have died of COVID in the last 2 years. But men are more likely to end up in a morgue as a result of COVID-19. No surprise that women are the stronger sex. We've known that for a long time. And when we return, we'll visit with Mark Ballard of The Advocate. And we hope Elbert Guillory, speaking of an old man, I hope 77-year-old Elbert Guillory is okay. Back after this. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Alondra Villarreal is producing, and we're glad you're with us, and we hope Elbert Guillory's okay. He missed out on being with us the first part of the show, but we have our Thursday tradition going with Mark Ballard, who never misses the show. 877-217-5757 is your number. Talk at talklouisiana.org is our email. And Alondra, let's give a listen to a few cuts from yesterday. The governor on his 70th Ask the Governor show all but endorsed Luke Mixon to be his candidate in the U.S. Senate race. The election pits John Kennedy against Mixon and Gary Chambers on November 8th, and there likely will be others joining the field. But here's Governor John Bel Edwards, a graduate of West Point, supporting the Naval Academy graduate, the pride of Bunkie, Luke Mixon.
In his stand on the issue, it was sort of, as best I can tell at least, very similar to mine in terms of being a Democrat, a moderate Democrat, and quite frankly, I'm attracted to his candidacy.
And, of course, Gary Chambers made headlines coast to coast and beyond earlier this week when he launched a campaign on the Internet smoking marijuana. And the governor, who pretty straight-laced guy, from A. Meade and West Point, didn't care for the ad very much. Here's Governor Edwards.
The imagery of actually smoking marijuana on an internet ad, just not something that I think people should reward him for.
All right. Mark Ballard, your thoughts about Gary Chambers, who knows how to get attention, and he got lots of it, and he's getting some pushback, as you would expect, but it makes this race an interesting one, to say the least.
Well, it does, and he is Gary Chambers is a master of the social media campaign. We showed that during the congressional race for the 2nd District. What the governor says is correct about that. I mean, it is still illegal, though decriminalized in certain for lower amounts, but the majority of the state wants to see recreational use of marijuana and legalized. So it may not be as crazy as it sounds.
Well, there are people who don't like Gary Chambers, and this gives them more reason not to like him. And there are people who do like him, and they think, man, this guy's got some brass. He'll do things other candidates won't. And it does have the danger of suffocating Luke Mixon's campaign if Chambers is getting all the hype.
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, it's going to – right now, what they need to do is the candidates need to do is get their name out there. Mm-hmm. And certainly Gary Chambers has done a much better job at that than Luke Mixon has.
And the way to beat John Kennedy, if that is possible, and I'm not sure it is, but a Republican needs to be in the race. He can't have all the challengers challenging him from one side of the spectrum, which is smaller than the other side. And he has the power of incumbency, and he also has $11 million in the bank. So John Kennedy right now is on cruise control. But if he got a challenge from the right, if the actor John Schneider got in, or if Charlie Bustani gave it another whirl, or some other Republican of note, Kennedy would have some concern. At least he could be forced into a runoff, and a listener notes accurately that he was forced into a runoff last time, and he got 60% of the votes against Foster Campbell. Tim in Central. Tim, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Mark Ballard. Hi, Tim.
Yes, good morning, Jim. How are you?
Fine.
Good. I'd like to talk about, kind of fade back to the previous subject. The caller with discussed the masks and the current administration stand on the mask and the proof that of how many lives it saves. You know, I'd like to say that just as equal as many lives as it saves. You know, it's there's an equal amount of proof on the other end of the spectrum. I myself, I do not respect, 90% of what the former president did. And I'm a registered Democrat who did vote for Biden. But to say that the proof is all one-sided is very biased, and it's very politically motivated and driven. And I would just like to get your thoughts
all right,
and comments
well,
on that, Jim.
But do you think masks, Tim, actually cause COVID?
No, I do not think they cause COVID. But I do not believe that the paper masks, which have been proven, stop the virus like we're told. And yes, the N95 masks, or N85, excuse me if I'm wrong about that, they do stop it. But many of my constituents and many of the Republican Party's constituents can't go out and afford an N95 mask.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to take into consideration everybody's situation, everybody's immunities, and everybody's lifestyles. Because if we don't, we'll just run down this rabbit hole that'll just separate the parties further and further. And it's a hyper politically motivated environment that's driven by the social media. Just overall, it's just the time that we live in.
Which side is driving that? Driving the division? Is it one side or is it both?
It's both. It's both. It's become now. Are they driving the separation and the division in the current administration? I wouldn't go as far as to say that they're driving it, but I would go as far to say is that they give light to it. Uh-huh. I believe that this country has made strides and strides of equality since the marches of Martin Luther King. Many things. And I believe that before this hypertension came with racism at the forefront of all political matters, which was pushed by our party and was, you know, made to seem like this was the only issue, set us back many years.
All right. Well,
you know,
well Tim, I'd like to get Mark to comment, but you're making some points, and it is appropriate for you to make them because you're not alone in your beliefs. But race remains a factor in American life. That's undeniable. And remember, it's been 32 years, but David Duke, when he ran for the U.S. Senate and then we ran for governor a year later, he made race his lone issue. There was no other issue other than race, and he got 60% of the white votes in one race and 55% of the white votes in another. And there's this undercurrent of race. And when you look at President Obama, who was not a bomb thrower. He was pretty much a moderate Democrat in many ways, certainly moderate in temperament. And the Democratic Party in the South just went away after Barack Obama was elected. And I've got to think it had something to do with his race. When Obama was elected, if I'll go back, I think there were still about 10 Democrats in the U.S. Senate who were white Democrats. And now there's one. There's one. I'm talking about in the South, in the SEC states, the 22 senators. There's one. That's John Ossoff of Georgia, who barely won. The others are, they got 20 Republicans who are all white. Actually, I take that back, 19 white, one black, Tim Scott of South Carolina. And you got Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff. And Mark Ballard, race is a factor in American politics. I don't think that's deniable. Maybe we are accenting it too much. I don't know, but it is a factor, and it's something that we need to address one way or the other. It's a factor in American life. And masks, it's all about playing the odds. It may not help us to wear a mask, but it's sure not going to hurt us. We play the odds every day of our life. We try not to get hurt when we go out and walk the streets. We don't walk in front of passing cars that are going down the street if we can avoid it. Mark, your thoughts about Tim, who's a sincere man and obviously concerned about the direction of the country. And one thing he is certainly right about is the division we have in our country. It's palpable.
Well, it is. And I think one reason we'll start with the race is that we as a nation have never come to terms with not just slavery, but also with Jim Crow and with ongoing separations between the races, redlining for housing, for instance. I mean, it is something that we have never come to grips with and never looked straight in the eye and never acknowledged, really. And I think that as long as that's going to be the case, it's just like a 12-step program. The first thing you have to say is, yes, I'm an addict. And until we look at it in the eye, it's going to continue to be a problem. Now, for the masks, I think one issue that he seems to be off on that is the mask is not supposed to protect you. It's supposed to keep you from infecting other people. And I think that the mask also seems to indicate that you're being careful about the COVID. There's no question that particularly this newest version, the Omicron, is highly infective, but it is not deadly for people who have been vaccinated. And that's what we've got to be looking at, is not the infection rates, but the death rates.
Carol in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Carol. You're on Talk
Louisiana. Hey, Jim. This idea of racism it's more prevalent now in that it's more open. It used to be covert. We had Welfare Cadillac. We had Welfare Mom. We had Willie Horton. All of these things was to stimulate votes for Republicans against black people. Thank you.
All right. And it was Ronald Reagan who spoke of the Welfare Cadillac lady, and that story turned out to be apocryphal, but he was in a state with a black population of about 5% and still was fanning the flames of race. And he, of course, is an icon politically. But we've got a long way to go, and we've got another quarter hour with Mark Ballard, 877-217-5757. We'll talk more. Thank you, Carol and Tim, for your calls, and we will return after this pause with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. Alondra Villarreal is producing. Still time to get in with Mark Ballard, the Capitol Bureau editor for The Advocate and The Picayune, the newspapers of record in Louisiana. Steve Wenham in St. Francisville says that the Biden administration is distributing 400 million free, no direct cost to people, N95 masks via pharmacies beginning next week. Interesting that they will be available. 400 million is a lot of them, and these masks have been shown to be more effective. And this Omicron variant is out there in Louisiana now. More than a million people have had COVID, and that's the million that we know of. So, Mark, we've gotten to about a quarter of the population in our state that has had COVID, and at some point, I would hope, I'm no doctor, but I would hope we would get some kind of herd immunity out of this. It's been a long, tough 22-month slog.
Not until we get vaccinated. It's not going to happen when only half of our population is vaccinated. When you look at what was happening in the Northeast, where they have 75-80%, they did have a lot of infections. But they also also had much fewer hospitalizations and deaths because the only people who are going are the ones that are unvaccinated. So herd immunity is not going to happen for a while. And a lot of the thinking now that I've been reading is that we need to get rid of the strategy of doing away with it and come up with a strategy of living with it. And that is going to be, you know, vaccinations and periodically donning masks.
877-217-5757 for Mark Ballard. Peter on Bluebonnet. Hi, Peter. Good morning.
Good morning. With the redistricting special session coming up, the final legislature roadshow this morning, curious to hear Mr. Ballard's take on this upcoming session and what do you expect to see out of the maps and out of the process?
All right. What well, about what about redistricting?
I think it's going to be kind of a pretty tough session. We have an increase in minority populations in the state of Louisiana, but we also need to redraw the maps for about half of the House and Senate districts. They're going to need to have more people moving them around, and it's going to be hard to do and maintain the one race majorities that are in many of these districts. So so I think it's going to be a fight involving that. It's also going to be a fight, I think, over whether or not there's going to be a second minority majority congressional district and a third minority majority. I'm sorry, I have trouble with those terms. Mm-hmm. Minority majority district for the Bessie board. I think there's a lot of intransigence and wanting to keep things the same amongst many of the legislators.
Thank you, Peter. 877-217-5757 for Mark, Patrick in Nisswalda States. Hello, Patrick. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, so I got the vaccine last summer. I noticed after the vaccine, I did have some like heart rhythms. And then recently, this judge, Christopher Dasu, I believe, he passed away. And I believe, I guess, Mark, have you heard anything? I'm kind of curious if maybe the vaccine, if he could have caused a heart rhythm, or have you heard anything about what may have been the cause of the judge's death? He was quite young. Just curious if you know anything.
All right, Patrick.
There's only a handful of cases in which the vaccine doesn't work versus the millions, hundreds of millions of cases in which it does work. So, you know, is it perfect? You know, is anything perfect? But basically you're talking about a very small handful of cases in which there's been adverse reactions, primarily because of underlying causes.
All right. And the judge, we don't know. There is an autopsy that has been conducted, and maybe that will provide some information, but he was a young man, and I think it would be foolhardy to say it involved a vaccination. Chuck and Spillman. Chuck, you're on with Mark. Good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Mr. Jim, and good morning to your fine, distinguished guest, Mark Ballard. The question I've got is, the January 6th insurrection was an attack on the American democracy. But yet, ever since that happened, the media, both radio and television, has given it nothing but 24-hour publicity, free publicity. And has anybody ever thought about that this might be inciting those kooks to try something else or do something larger? And maybe should the media tone it down? Because all you're doing is giving them free publicity, and that's all I got
all right.
to say.
Well, some of these people, Chuck, have been brought to justice because you can see their faces. It was an attack on the Capitol. That's serious business. This was not like other attacks in Portland that we keep hearing about that are nowhere equal to this. And it was an attempt to overthrow an election. So it's kind of like talking about the Kennedy assassination, which we often do, which is still shrouded in mystery, something that happened in 1963, we're talking 59 years ago, but we still don't know who killed John Kennedy definitively. Some people believe it was Lee Harvey Oswald. Others don't. But yet we still talk about it. Does that cause people to go out and take a shot at a president? I don't think so, but you never know. It only takes one nut to do something really crazy. But, Mark, I think in this case the media are right on by covering the insurrection story.
Yeah. We go back to what we were talking about earlier in the conversation, is that you have to look it straight in the eye and call it what it is and look at the causes of it. If you don't, if we submerge it, then it's going to continue to be a problem. And I think that what the congressional investigations are doing is trying to get to the root cause. What caused this? And I think that it's important to do.
877-217-5757. Here's an email from John in New Roads, who often sends emails that are cogent, but this one I couldn't disagree with more. He says, John Bel Edwards is a racist. I don't know where John is getting this, but the fact that he's not supporting Gary Chambers for the U.S. Senate does not make our governor a racist. But there's an example of you got a guy who I think has done many things right when it comes to race, and he's being accused of being a racist, Mark Ballard.
Well, we're at a stage, and I don't know, I guess we've always had this amongst our national psyche, is to criticize. And so, I mean, as a politician, John Bel Edwards is certainly aware of and accepting that almost anything that he does is going to be accepted by some and rejected by others.
And the other night I was asked, it was a long interview, but, you know, with TV, you get a few seconds for a soundbite about Gary Chambers. And at one point I said he was a breath of fresh air. And what I meant was that he was speaking unscripted and unrestrained, and we need more candidates like that. I wasn't really referring to what he was doing as being a breath of fresh air. Obviously, smoking pot is anything but fresh air, but a well-intentioned man who I admire, who has to remain anonymous, saying, Jim, you know I love you, but I can't believe you called Gary Chambers a breath of fresh air. He's a racist and an embarrassment to all of us. So, you see, we got two well-intentioned men, David in New Roads. It's John in New Roads and this other gentleman who both believe that the other side is racist because they don't agree with him.
Well, and I would agree with you that he is a breath of fresh air in that he does speak for some people out there. I would think that there's a small minority of people, but, you know, he does speak for some people out there and is, like you say, I mean, it's not scripted.
Mm-hmm. So, and my friend Pat Simon, when he was hosting a radio talk show back in 96, I remember asking all the U.S. Senate candidates who came on for like 5 minutes every Friday. It was a great idea, and he actually got them to come on. And he had Mary Landrieu and Woody Jenkins and Richard Ayoub and Bill Linder and Peggy Wilson and Jimmy Hayes. And he asked them, have you ever smoked pot? And, of course, every one of them, Mark, said, no, never. I wouldn't dream of doing such a thing. And then 26 years later, there's a candidate for the U.S. Senate who not only is acknowledging that he's smoking pot, but he does it on camera for everybody to see.
Well, this is true. And part of all of that is that the polls, poll after poll after poll, is showing that the state, including Republicans, have many, not all, have changed their minds on marijuana as a dangerous drug.
Well, and Gary Chambers is somebody who is a lightning rod, and if you don't like Chambers, you're probably not going to like anything he does, and he's a guy who has a movement going, and that movement can't be discounted. He's 36 years old. I have a feeling that Gary Chambers may be in public life long after we're out of the business, Mark.
Well, I think you might be correct on that, because his movement, while growing, you know, it's a small movement, so I'm not sure that he's ever actually going to win an election, but he will have supporters out there who will rally around him because he speaks his mind. And I can only think of Donald Trump as someone who would fit that particular description.
And like Gary Chambers, Donald Trump has never received a majority or a plurality in an election. Thank you, Mark Ballard. Great to visit with you. We'll call again next Thursday. Have a great week, my friend.
Okay. You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. The First Financial Tax and Accounting Services provides signature support for our program. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Alondra Villarreal for producing, and stay safe and stay tuned.